Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. Coach Steve back. Nick and Scotty here as always. We're here to break down the weekend in the Premier League, Serie A, and anything else we find attractive across Europe. So, guys, I guess a little bit interesting in terms of what happened in Europe this week, right? Especially with that City-PSG match. We'll see how that affects the citizens on the weekend against Chelsea. That'll be really the feature match of the week in the Premier League. But real quick, couple minutes. Nothing too lengthy, but anything stand out to you in terms of Champions League, Europa League over the last 3 days?
We've got to start off with a shout out to Liverpool for going 7 straight games with a win. Yeah. Pretty much locking up the one seed, unless Barcelona pulls something crazy out of their ass and Liverpool shit the bed in the last week. But yeah, stunning turnaround for a team that wasn't even in Champions League last season. So good on them. Good on Slot for really coming in and not, you know, missing a beat. And we'll talk about it a little bit more in Premier League too, but... yeah, I'd start there. And then, yeah, I think you nailed it, Coach. I think the City, where they sit right now, just outside, not having their own destiny in their control for advancing into the knockout stages, is a very interesting development. And I think what's even crazier is, like, they're still, if you look at odds, I think they're like the 5th or 6th favorite still to win it all.
Yeah, that's wild.
Which is unbelievable. I mean, credit to...
I mean, this is a team that that's respect. Had a lot of the futures on them, I would think, going into the tournament, and probably, I don't know what the odds, I don't know if there were any odds out there for top 8 or whatever in this group stage or anything, but I would have sure bet them to be top 8 if the odds were out there, right? And here they are now, possibly not even getting out of the group stage when 24 out of 32 teams make it. That is something I don't think anybody saw coming. Unless... Even if they do, like the fact that if they finished, you know, somewhere between 21 and 24 is still, you know, shocking.
Unless you listen to Kicks and Picks podcast before the Champions League started, when we would have said, do not place a futures bet until the second round, especially with this new format, then you would have saved your money on City. Guys, just I don't know that there's even words for them at the moment. The form that they're in can't really be logically explained. I mean, I guess it can, but like they went up 2-0. Right. They weathered the storm in that first half. I think PSG did have a goal called back, if I'm not mistaken, in the first half. But you make it to halftime, you make your subs, you score 2 goals in like 3 minutes, and you're like, okay, this is awesome for them. They're gonna get back on track, and PSG are probably gonna be the team that misses out, which would have been music to my ears, because then I get to brag about how I tell everybody PSG are the biggest Champions League pretenders on the planet. And then they give up 4 straight and like pretty quickly. Absolutely brutal. I mean, listen, they don't have the hardest game coming up. It's not an easy game. Club Brugge has been really good. They've only given up 8 goals. I mean, they haven't scored a ton, but tough team to play against. Juve just saw that. Juve just played them without a shot on target for 90 minutes. So tells you everything you need to know about how they can potentially set up. Obviously, a draw would be good enough for them in this match. Wild. It's really... I'm starting to lose words to say about City, because you always just figure, okay, well, they're going to snap out of it. Okay, it's just going to take Haaland to get going. Okay, they're getting healthy. Team is old. The team looks like they've been figured out. And they had a disastrous transfer market. They let go of Alvarez, which, whether you rate him or not, I think he's doing pretty well at Atleti so far, but he clearly... was important to this team. You got 4 other guys that are just kind of like wingers who aren't really forward. So if you're not getting it out of Haaland, which he's still been good, you know, he hasn't been up to his maybe all-time season, you know, like the shit he's been doing the past couple of years. I think I just saw he has like 50 Champions League goals in 45 games or something like that. Still ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know, if he's not scoring 2 goals a game, it seems like they're just out of ideas, and their defense is terrible.
Shame on you, Nick, for leaving out the fact that they're missing Ballon d'Or winner Rodri.
Oh, yeah. I think that is the
colossal reason.
I guess so.
Yeah. I guess so.
I don't think they concede 4 goals against anybody if he's on the field, right? It's much less, you know, fair. 4.5. De Bruyne has declined. I mean, Father Time caught up with him, and it's, you know, he had a really injury plague season last season, and it's just obvious that he's a shell of what he's been. Same with Silva, same with Gundogan. Gundogan was their only transfer in last summer, and I mean, he doesn't have legs left. He's basically running around on zero cartilage. And so I think that's just what you're seeing. You're seeing this team that's basically you know, gone through a gauntlet of seasons over the last 5 or 6 years, winning pretty much, yeah, literally all everything that there is. And now they're just cooked. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see how they rebuild. Obviously, they've got a couple of guys already in the door for January. They'll probably bet in a little bit, and then we'll see. I mean, it may be too late, but hope they'll need a little bit of a miracle. But
no,
I also
one thing I will say, you, if I recall correctly, you did call at in our Champions League show, like, wouldn't it be interesting if this PSG City showdown at the end of the round was gonna turn into this? And yeah, lo and behold, it has.
Yeah, I mean, as we put them on the hot seat because they were both kind of scrambling, kind of sitting around the bottom. And it, I think Real Madrid was in that list too, but they've kind of taken care of business the last two weeks. So they're, they seem pretty safe. Yeah, 12 points.
City looking really, really fortunate that Sporting have lost three in a row, that Zagreb hasn't picked up, you know, picked up 1 point in their last three. Otherwise, they'd be really, really up against it. I think Benfica had two pretty mediocre games in a row. So fortunate that some other results are going their way. Just kind of a wild result.
I think the last game is Stuttgart is hosting Real Madrid, right? So that's probably the one to watch. So yeah, if Stuttgart can get, you know, a result there, and you know, City is struggling against Bruges, then maybe that's the way it happens. But I think the other thing that we got to point out, since we are a multi-league podcast, your league, Serie A, is poised to have three of their four clubs, the fourth obviously being Bologna.
Who got a win? I was going to say
they get a win, but I don't know that they're going to make it through. But the three of the four are looking like they're going to be a seeded team in the top eight going into the knockout stage. So credit to Italy.
Yeah, no, the guys have been doing well. Milan, this is who we kind of thought they were last year in this competition. They're starting to put the results together. Defense has been better. Inter, I think, has only given up one goal. The whole, you know, the wins haven't really looked that pretty, but 5 out of 7 is 5 out of 7. So, yeah, you kind of love to see it. It's good. It's good for the league. I think Barcelona really is like holding Spain together at this point in two competitions. So, shout out Barca too, man. That was a wild, wild comeback they had, where I thought they were cooked, and I think they scored three goals in like the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that was bananas.
Yeah, and you know, Serie A, just for a minute, been a really good 3-4 seasons in Europe now for Serie A. You know, they got that fifth Champions League spot this year to get you know, Bologna in there, and the, you know, Fiorentina's been in a couple Conference League finals, Roma's been in Europa League final, Lazio's in first in the Europa League right now. You know, you mentioned Inter was in a final 2 years ago, Roma won Conference League 3 years ago. So like it's been an upward trend for Serie A after Nick and I really watched that league struggle in Europe for a really, really long time. I know we haven't gotten that Champions League winner yet. But you know, it feels like Serie A is finally building sides that can compete consistently in Europe. Cause for a while, not to toot my club's horn, cause there's not much to toot these days, they were the one team that was kind of like holding it together in Europe for Italy, even though they weren't in the league. They were in a, you know, semifinal in the Champions League, couple in Europa League. And the league is doing well, and it's good to see, you know, Atalanta thrashed Sturm Graz, which was kind of expected. But, you know, for all their inconsistencies, they turn it on in these competitions. And, yeah, I wanted to shout out Bologna. The one that hurt me yesterday was that Leverkusen result, or it might have been Tuesday, had them on the money line, and they just capitulated.
Cannot lose that game ever. I don't give a shit who you're playing. Yeah. That's just inexcusable.
Down a man themselves and conceding the winner, and it was not good. Not a good way to lose a bet. But yeah, and Feyenoord thrashing Bayern 3-0, right? Another club who's been kind of inconsistent in Europe this year.
Yeah, Feyenoord's picked it up after a rough first couple games. They're electric offensive team when they want to be. Their counterattacks lethal, but they're proven in these competitions. The one league I really have to shout out, and maybe this week isn't the week to do well, maybe 50-50. France really, like, League One is kind of brought it in this competition so far. You know, Monaco is right there. Lille and Brest were in top eight positions before this week. I mean, that, you know, one game can obviously change your fortunes, but going to qualify, I think they're, you know, they're in that 12, that next grouping,
place. They're
pretty fine. And then obviously PSG with the win of the round. So shout out France. They might get four clubs through.
And who could have predicted that? It's very likely PSG ends up the lowest of the four French teams with all of them getting through. That was like
some
another one, right?
Some don't believe in PSG in the Champions League.
No, not in the least.
Aston Villa, worst performance of the week. No goals against, I forgot who they played, Monaco.
Yep. Yeah. I think we had, did we have the both teams to score in that or something?
Sure did.
In the group text? Yeah. Yeah. It's been a couple interesting days for us. But yeah, let's move on to the weekend. England, we'll go through the slate. I mean, not much to talk about here, but Liverpool minus 1,000 against Ipswich plus 1,900.
Take them.
Yeah.
Roll the dice. I mean, that's I'll kind of talk why Liverpool. No, I mean, listen, I think Liverpool at home should get a result here. But yeah, I think the reason this number is so high is Ipswich looked like dog shit against a pretty poor City side last weekend. And Nick and I were talking about it a little bit before we, you know, went live. And it's not too often that you see a team get like absolutely battered in back-to-back weekends in the Premier League. You know, I think I get it. Ipswich is, you know, close to the bottom right now, but you got to think that there's going to be some form of turnaround in the performance. And you know, this Liverpool side isn't exactly clicking on all cylinders at the current moment. They've kind of stalled out with Salah's kind of dip in form a little bit. They haven't really found a true reliable goal scorer outside of him. Jota keeps getting hurt. Nunez shows up every once in a while, showed up this weekend against Brentford, so shout out to him, but then he'll disappear for three or four or five games. Diaz, that dude looks so good when he plays, but he just never has end product.
Yeah.
And then Chiesa is trying to work his way back from injury. I mean, Gakpo has been the other guy that they can kind of count on for goals reliably, so I don't know. I mean, the spread in this one, I think what Ipswich is getting at least two and a half is minus 105. It's not terrible.
So the thing about Ipswich is like they're only giving up a goal a game. Like it's almost unfathomable that their defense could be this good and them mm-hmm. be in the relegation spot, but they don't score. And I don't, you know, away from home is going to be really, really tough. We said what? They just gave up 6 goals last week. So I mean, like, yep. Take that away, and I was looking at the wrong thing. Sorry, they're giving up more goals than I thought. But minus 6 goals, they're giving up less than 2 goals a game.
When they played Liverpool in the, I think it's the opening match of the season for both teams. They played Liverpool really good. Granted, it was at home, and I have that big theory about the newly promoted clubs and their home openers always play a little bit above, you know, their typical performance levels, but. You know, they didn't concede in the first half. Liverpool ended up winning, I think, 2-0 behind, you know, two really solid performances. So, you know, there's history that shows that Ipswich should and could keep up with Liverpool. And like I said, Salah has been a little bit off his game, I would say, in the last, you know, 3-4 games.
I mean, impossible going back to stay on that loss
against Spurs. So, you know, you got to find someone to step up for Liverpool if it's going to be Salah taking his typical winter dip or post
Ramadan coming up, right?
Right, yeah.
Something. Ramadan's coming up. I don't know.
Normally I blame it on AFCON. I can't blame it on it this year, you know, on that this year. So,
listen, what I would say in a game like this, if you're looking to get involved as a bettor, this is a game where you're taking somebody like a Szoboszlai, you're taking somebody like a McAllister. You got to take a chance with somebody that's like plus 300, plus 330. If you think the odds are correct and Poole are going to run up 3-4 goals, you got to take a stab with somebody like that. I think that's a way I would potentially look at it. Or you think Ipswich get on the score sheet and you take a both teams to score. I don't know. Like that's other than that, it's really tough to squeeze something out of this game.
Under 3.75 is minus 110.
There you go.
I think that might be the play. Because again, like I said, Liverpool's been struggling to score. Konate's back, so their defense is looking a little bit better. So they're at home. I think there's a chance they keep a clean sheet. But you know, I don't see this being another like 4-5-0 game that happened with City last weekend.
So
all right. Next on the list is Southampton hosting Newcastle. One that kind of I was just flipping through as you guys were talking about that last match. Newcastle minus a goal and a quarter, minus 125 at Southampton. I mean, Newcastle's been in pretty good form. I know they lost last weekend. Southampton's pretty bad. I mean,
yes,
pretty bad. Bottom of the table.
You would think that they could at least win this match. Should win by multiple goals.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to take Newcastle, now I think is the time. I mean, last week was what, their one blemish in quite some time. They've had multi-goal wins in something like 6 out of their last 7. I apologize. I don't have it right in front of me. So I like the logic, coach. I see where you're at. I really don't mind it. I think maybe a Newcastle first half money line is something I would look at minus 125. Well, I think they've been scoring goals in the first half like crazy. So
yeah multiple goal wins in. Yeah, I can confirm, Nick, 6 out of 7 multiple goal wins. The only one that wasn't a multi-goal win was a 2-1 over Spurs.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with this one.
Actually, it's more. It's like even more. It's like 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 9 as I go further down their schedule. So yeah, I think the first half money line is also a solid play there.
Thank you.
Going down the list, we've got Wolves hosting Arsenal.
Big game.
Arsenal -210 on the road. I know, Scotty, you put in the title here, season on the line. Why do you say?
I'm just saying.
Well, let's just kind of back up from where Arsenal are at right now. In the last basically two and a half weeks, they've been eliminated from the Carabao Cup.
Oof.
They've been eliminated from the FA Cup in penalties. They just drew. They gave up a 2-0 lead to Aston Villa. Drew that game 2-2, dropping huge points in the title race for Premier League. I mean, granted, there's a decent amount of injuries for them. I guess you can kind of like make some excuses in that sense. But when you kind of look at like the season as a whole, you know, City is obviously having a very down year. Liverpool and Chelsea are both coming in the season with new managers. Spurs and United are kind of in a bit of turmoil. You know, United has changed managers mid-season. This was really a great season for this Arsenal team, who's had pretty cohesive roster and obviously manager Arteta's been there for several seasons now. This is like the golden opportunity, and they're very much letting it slip through their fingertips right now. And yeah, I think this is basically as much of a must win at this point in the season as you can have for a club like Arsenal, because yeah, it's a Wolves team. I get it's on the road. You should absolutely be winning this game. But if you don't win this game, you know, their schedule doesn't really get any easier. You know, they have City up next on February 2nd, so 2 weekends from now. Leicester City on the road can be a little tricky, probably should win. But then you have West Ham, Forest, United, Chelsea, all back-to-back-to-back-to-back after that. So I think if you drop points here, Liverpool are playing Ipswich, we just talked that, heavy favorites, should be getting 3 points there. You're going to find yourselves potentially 10 plus points back from Liverpool, with Liverpool having a game in hand while going into a very tough part of the fixture list. So I think this is pretty much a must win for Arsenal. If they lose or drop points in this game, I think that's about it for them in terms of winning a trophy this season, unless they make some crazy run in the Champions League.
I love Scotty's ability to look ahead to the schedule. It's maybe one of the best things that you do. I dig it. I'm with the logic here. Can I interest anybody in Odegaard's shot on target?
Not after the video comp that I've seen.
Never, ever. That dude's a fucking bum. No, he's actually really been playing well, but they don't need him to score. Listen, Wolves have been a lot better. This is absolutely not a pushover game. I think they've done well to, I guess, get themselves out of a relegation spot, technically. Yeah. And when I say they've done better, I mean, like, they're playing better. They're scoring more goals. Their results are still not very good. But I think they can get on the score sheet in this one. I like both teams to score at -120.
I was going to say that too. Yeah, I think
At home, they have to get something out of this. So I like them to get a goal in this game.
Yeah, I definitely like the both teams to score in this. You know, weirdly enough, it's with Arsenal. It's, you know, who's scoring the goal for them, right? Like, it's been
Havertz has been actually pretty decent, believe it or not.
Both teams to score in Arsenal matches 5 of the last 7.
Thank you, Coach.
I do this every week, but I'm going to do it again. Where's my boy Gabriel? Okay, here we go. Gabriel, I think, is that he has one shot on target. It's +195. I think that's worth a shot. He's like the target man on all their set pieces, including corners. I feel like if Wolves get a goal in this game and it's close, Arsenal are going to be looking and hunting for set pieces.
It's so funny that this is definitely a corner game. Like every Arsenal game is a corner game, but they've smashed like 8 or 9 themselves recently, like a lot of games. So the total corner line for this one was like really low. I think it was, why can't I find it? Over 9.5 is -130. Over 10.5 is +115. I mean, Arsenal, I think they have 11 corners themselves in their last two games.
I think they've been getting double-digit corners.
If you want to take an Arsenal team total corners over 6.5, you could do that. If you want to take it for the game, you can do that. I think this is a smash piece for the corners bet that we used to love so much.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, Bournemouth hosting Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest plus 240 on the money line on the road. I mean, that to me is wild with the way that they've played this season.
This is sneakily like the matchup of the weekend. I know we have two bigger names facing off coming up in a second here, but I think in terms of like where these teams are, the table, like how they've been performing recently, you could make a case that this is probably the biggest matchup of the weekend, at least in England. You know, I love Nottingham Forest, draw no bet in this game at plus 150. All credit to Bournemouth. You know, they've been fantastic under Areola. But I think Forest's defense in the last 2-3 months, you can make a case, has been the best defense in the league. And yeah, I think, you know, they're going to get a goal. I don't see Bournemouth, you know, running it up on them by any means. Draw no bet at plus 150 here. It almost feels too good to be true. But
that's my worry. So here's a question I have for you. Would you say Bournemouth is like the surprise of the season? Would you say they're like the...
I would say Forest is the surprise. I mean, Forest is in third place surprised. Right now. Yeah. And with, you know, Arsenal's schedule coming up, there's a good chance that Forest are like the only other title contenders with Liverpool, which is crazy to say because it's not 1993 anymore.
22 games is a good sample size, right? And 13 wins out of 22 is pretty fucking good. So, I mean, I'm not trying to knock what Forest are doing, but, like, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't Bournemouth, like, perpetually in 15th place?
Yeah, that's kind of where Forest has been.
Yeah.
I mean, Forest has spent a lot more money. I guess maybe that's
right.
The point.
That's, so it's now fair. Their third Scott different squad.
Scott coined the Nottingham Forest is a problem. Like, they're a problem. Season's that's too early. Yeah,
that's
he
max.
Coined it a little early, but it's coming to fruition this season. Yeah, this is two teams that have been playing very well, just to back up what you were saying.
Yeah.
11 straight with no losses for Bournemouth, 9 straight with no losses for Forest. Something's got to give. Maybe it ends up being a draw. So I think the draw no bet at plus 150 is the value play. I don't like that to me is a no brainer. If they go and lose, so be it. But when you're getting plus 150 on the third place team in the league,
right,
I think you got to take it.
No, I dig that logic. I mean, you just said something, though, that's even more mind-blowing. Bournemouth's undefeated in 11 games. I mean, that's pretty good. They're at home. That's probably why they're favorites. So am I going to take what's in front of me? I didn't do this twice last week. I cautioned against it, and then I didn't do it. Odds are telling me Bournemouth probably takes this game at home, but I agree with you guys. Forest has to be the play for the form that they've also been in, for how well they've played, the table position they're in. Chris Wood just continues to do it week in and week out. Oaks was on with us, a month and a half ago and talking about Chris Wood. And I think he's scored in like 80% of the game since. So shout out him. Coach, your boy, Kluivert, Roma legend, has been really good for Bournemouth.
He's had some bangers.
Got to give it to him. But I think there could be like sneakily could be goals in this one too. Like this screams like a 2-1 game to me. I don't think it's a 1-0 win for anybody.
So no. Based on trends, that favors a Bournemouth because Bournemouth more goals, more than 2.5 and 4 out of 5. Forest is less than 2.5 goals and 5 out of 7.
Right. But no, Forest's defense has been awesome. Yeah. And that's why like it's kind of counterintuitive. Yeah. But I feel like both of these teams are going to be going for it, and I kind of see a 2-1 either way.
And some interesting trends here with Forest. 7 straight matches, first to score. 7 straight matches, they're the first half winner. And their first half money line is plus 300.
Whoa. Okay.
From what I'm seeing here on SofaScore, it's a BetMGM line, plus 300. Fucking
shout out BetMGM. Hold on. Let's see.
See what DraftKings has it at.
No, their first half money line's plus 160 or plus 280. No, it's right there.
Yeah, plus 280. Forest plus 280. It's right around that number.
If I'm going to take that, I probably would just take them to get a goal in the first half at plus 125.
I don't
honestly. Because that just eliminates a 1-1 first half or anything like that. I'm not knocking anybody to take a shot with it or saying it's a bad bet, but Forest first half goal plus number seems pretty good.
And Forest to score first is plus 120. The books have Bournemouth at minus 150 to score first. Also interesting. It's interesting the way the books are reading this match.
But they're really high on Bournemouth right now.
Yeah,
that's fine. Again, if books went behind Bournemouth, I'm okay with that because you know with the way that Forest have been playing, I'm willing to lose money in backing them in this case.
All right. Still, and these are all 10 a.m. Saturday.
Banger of a weekend, boys.
Eastern time. This is the last Saturday, 10 a.m. So you got five match simulcasts going on here. If you're trying to watch them all. It's Brighton hosting Everton. Brighton minus 150 in the money line. Everton plus 425.
I'm really, really, I know this is crazy. I'm really, really tempted to take Everton because I just, for whatever reason, I just feel like Moyes and Everton are just a really good combination. Neither of them by themselves are good in any way, shape, or form.
Like a vodka Red Bull.
But for some reason, when you put them together, it kind of works. And so I, like, I'm not going to take the money line or draw no bet, but I think when we were looking at the spread, Nick, we were looking at, double chance, plus 120, plus a
give
goal,
me,
minus
give
155.
That's tough.
It's tough.
Plus one needs to get to like minus 135, minus 140, and I would play it.
Yeah, I guess it's the plus three quarters of a goal at minus 110 is kind of where it's at. But I don't know. I don't even really like hate that right now. Brighton, they're not, you know, last year's Brighton team right now. They're struggling a little bit. They're sitting in ninth place. They've drawn
like
a lot of
games. The weird thing about Brighton
year.
Is like their wins are really good wins, but then they'll go out and this is like exactly the game they'll draw or they'll lose.
And again, Tottenham's defense is terrible, but Everton scoring three goals last weekend, I feel like they can score more again. I don't know. I don't think that's an anomaly. So, yeah, I want to take Everton in some way. Maybe I'll just take it three quarters of a goal. I would really love that plus one, but I'll settle for plus three quarters of a goal because, you know, Brighton have just drawn. They've drawn 10 of their 22 matches. You know, not quite Juve levels, but it can't be ignored.
Unbeaten is seven, Brighton, in all comps.
Yeah, but how many
of
those are draws?
A lot of those are draws, but it's three wins in a row after beating United last week, which it is what it is.
Both teams to score minus 120.
Yeah. They beat United. They
both
beat
teams to score minus
Ipswich.
120 is a solid number, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really big on both teams to score lately.
You know, liking Everton to get something here, then you got to figure Brighton scores at home, you think. So, yeah, maybe that might be the play, the minus 120. Interesting. The later Saturday match is Man City hosting Chelsea. Now, Scotty, you took that Chelsea future. You said this was the week to hedge out before this match.
Yeah.
Thinking because it's City, like, it's the time to hedge. Now, Chelsea has faded since then, so that kind of became a moot point, I think. But
no, this stock has crashed faster than a meme coin. It
when
was,
you look at this table, City really needs this match, right? I mean, I know the Premier League will probably end up getting five spots in Champions League again next year because they tend to do well in Europe and will earn one of those two extra spots that, you know, these leagues tend to earn. But, I mean, City's sitting here in fifth. Same amount of matches played as everybody except for Liverpool has a match in hand, and Liverpool's kind of out of touching distance right now for them. But, you know, look at Newcastle. We said we expect Newcastle to win this weekend. Newcastle's on the same amount of points as City. Bournemouth is a point behind if they can get a result against Forest, right? So not saying that any of these teams will necessarily finish the season ahead of City, depending on what City does in the transfer market, because they do have the resources to reinforce. Villa's sitting around 36 points. I mean, all these teams are within one win, or in Newcastle's case, a draw if City loses, of passing City. I mean, you said Arsenal season online. City maybe is in the same kind of boat because the form that's going on, Champions League now at risk,
I think the good news for City is they've kind of already, like you just talked about what they do in the transfer market, they've already kind of done that, right? They just brought in Marmoush. That's going to help create more goals for them. They brought in two new young center backs. He may be available. I don't know that he would play even if he was available. I think they, you know, Pep usually likes to try to give his guys, you know, a couple practice sessions to kind of
get into the squad. The Champions League game is much more important.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I wouldn't expect to see him in this game, but maybe off the bench if needed. It could be an emergency, you know, super sub type performance. They also brought in two center backs. We were talking about how bad their defense has been with Rodri being out. Their center halves have been underperforming this year, besides maybe you maybe make a case for Diaz. But, brought in two young guys, Kushinov and Reese. Reese is this, like, 19-year-old Brazilian kid. No idea if he's good. He's coming from Brazil, so he might be a stud. He may be a bust, but
right. No, I'm
Kushinov at least seems like he's pretty decent. He had a pretty good season in Ligue 1. So I think City are there to rebound for the last 3 months of the season. Usually they do anyways. Mm. The only thing that's working against them is their legs and their age. So maybe that's they don't get their patented, you know, February run. But so my point is, I don't know it's necessarily quite a must-win game for City just yet. Given how much Chelsea have dropped off in the last month, at one point Chelsea were in second, and then, you know, maybe like 4 points back with Liverpool's game in hand. And then since then, they've just like shit the bed. So
is it a must-win game for Chelsea to stay in top four contention?
Yeah, you know, I guess,
maybe
yeah.
That's closer. I would say that. Yeah. It's, if anything, it's more of like a must-win game for Chelsea than it is for City. I would
like to see a statement win from Chelsea. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying this would like be the, hey, we're turning the page. We're competing with the big boys. We're fighting for this top four spot earlier than, and I don't even know if it's earlier than you expected, right? Because I get it. It's a new project. It's a new manager for the 19th time in 19 years or whatever it is. They're trying to shed some dead weight or whatever the case may be. But they really just flopped beyond all belief with the cupcake part of their schedule. As Scott, you very eloquently pointed out, went through the whole thing. We had a great discussion on the future. It was a lot of fun. It was prime for them to go on a run, and then they just didn't. So like, how Chelsea would it be for them to win this game? And you kind of have to kick City while they're down because everybody else has been doing it.
Yeah.
And I like the Cole Palmer revenge arc in this game. Like, does Cole Palmer just come in and just fucking lay one on them? I think that'd be awesome to watch. This is what I'm hoping
for. Plus 170.
I'm going to let you guys talk about what bets we should place, because I'm just too hyped up on like the City hate train right now that I just want so many things to happen. Let me collect my thoughts for a second and put an intelligent bet together.
I'm going to sound a little repetitive, but again, Chelsea draw no bet at plus 145. Just given the form that City's in, we have new transfers, but I don't think they're playing in this game. So I think you're going to see the same Chelsea squad that you've been seeing, the same City squad that you've been seeing, the past month and a half or so. And yeah, they have a big midweek game that they got to focus on, like where they have to win in the Champions League to advance, which is a crazy thing. And then after that, they have Arsenal. You know, they have a lot of big hitters coming in the next week. So Chelsea draw no bet is what I said.
Yeah, I know. I'm
double chance
it on you.
Minus 130.
I'm flipping it on you.
All right, fine. You could do that too. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, low number for Chelsea to score two goals, plus 105. Not saying they score two. I'm just saying like that. You figure that would be a big plus number. It's not.
Yeah. Like PSG just put four on them and a half.
Yeah.
Fair. I mean, the total for this is 3.5, right?
Yeah.
3.5 is minus 105.
That makes sense. Cucurella to get a card, plus 175. I like that a lot.
Cucurella always to get a card.
Fucking scrub.
The thing I'm loving about this Thursday episode that we're doing this week is I can see all these random props that we never get on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Holland offside.
A lot of player shots.
Holland to be offsides at any point in the game, plus 125.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it seems like
So here's the question. What that means, he's the player that's receiving the ball?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets whistled for offsides. Yeah. Offsides is given, and he's the one that is creating the infraction, plus 125.
I don't mind that.
So yeah, right. I like Chelsea. I like goals in this in some capacity. Get creative however you want. Team total. What'd you say, Nick? Chelsea over 1.5 was plus 105.
Yeah, no, it's too low, I think, to take, but it's there.
I'm wondering if let's see. Hold on. Let me get into our little double chance total. Chelsea. A lot
of props for this game. I'm like struggling to grasp them all.
Chelsea and tie and over 2.5 is plus 130. So you get Chelsea double chance and you get the total at 2.5 instead of 3.5 plus money. It's not bad.
Trying to think if I like an under or not. I just can't. I can't. Both defenses
can't
stink.
Do an under in this. No. Both defenses stink.
I hate to take an over at 4, but
I also feel like Holland is due for like a hat trick. He hasn't had a hat trick in a long ass time.
Don't say it. Do not speak it into existence.
I won't.
I don't know how often Cole Palmer puts shots on target, but I saw it for him to have like two shots on target was like over plus 250. Do you think he's gonna have a little revenge?
I mean, he should. He absolutely should. As long as he doesn't get subbed off, that seems like it's a pretty fair play.
All right, so let's go quickly through Sunday. We're trying to go long here in the Premier League. We got four matches. We've got Spurs hosting Leicester, Palace hosting Brentford, Villa hosting West Ham, and Fulham hosting United. anything jump out to you guys in those matches?
I mean, the Palace number doesn't make sense to me. Plus 110 at home.
Yeah, another broken record, but I like Brentford draw no bet in that one. It's a similar number, right? Plus 140, plus 150.
Yeah,
I like that again.
Also, the Fulham number doesn't really make sense to me. Granted, United stink, but like Fulham haven't been any better.
I don't know, man. United have been pretty bad. I'm not gonna say that number doesn't make sense because they're at home. I certainly wouldn't like make that a lock by any means. Yeah. You feel like United is kind of like waiting to do something, but United, West Ham, forwards don't score. Their forwards
West
don't
Ham
score.
Plus one against Aston Villa.
Man, I mean, that's a what's the total now? Give me like an over three.
Both teams to score minus 130.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
What Aston Villa fucking stink. Their defense is terrible.
Both defenses don't exist.
Yeah. Shout out us because we have been the Villa on Fraud Watch podcast since day one.
Yeah. Poor Watkins. Ollie has really gone
down.
I
think what we're seeing here is it just shows that teams that aren't regular Champions League teams, it's tough for them to stay
finding it really hard
in the league the next year. Look at Newcastle last year, right? Mm-hmm. Here it is with Villa.
West Ham last year.
Other leagues with other teams, right? Union Berlin was a prime example last year. I think Stuttgart, we're seeing a little bit in Germany. From what I recall, they're not so high on the table this year again. I think it's just a trend when you're not
in Real Sociedad.
When you're not used to competing in these competitions, you know, year in and year out, it wears on your depth because it's hard to build that depth in one summer, not knowing how far you're going to get in the Champions League and how much money you're going to bring in. And teams struggle with that. So. Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. You know, and like if a Forest does finish top five and they qualify, they're going to be in the same kind of boat, I think, next year, right? It's hard to sustain that.
Nottingham Forest will have a problem.
Yeah. Fact. So, all right, shall we move to Italy?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, so starts tomorrow, if you're listening right now. Friday, 2:45 match in the afternoon, Eastern time. Torino hosting Cagliari. I don't know if there's anything there, Nick.
Both teams fucking stink. But Cagliari unbeaten in three games, two wins out of their last three. Torino haven't won in like six or seven, something like that. I mean, they draw every fucking game.
Yeah.
Cagliari seems like a live underdog
like
to me.
It feels like a draw, too, to me. Like,
sure. It's only plus 200. Yeah. So, of course it does. But Cagliari seems like a live underdog to me in this one. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I don't trust Torino with anything.
Yeah, the reverse fixture in Sardinia was a 3-2 Cagliari win. But Torino draws in four straight. They've become the draw team there. What was that? That was Udinese for us last year.
Would say Juve are the draw team, but
that's
true. You do whatever
maybe it's something in the water in Turin. City rivals, maybe something in the water. They did draw each other too. I don't know if I would trust either side. I know the number on Cagliari is not bad, so maybe a draw no bet might be in the cards if you're leaning Cagliari because that's plus 145.
Yeah, plus quarter of a goals is even money.
Yeah,
not bad.
That could be where to go. Double chance minus 155, a little too chalky, I think. Yeah, John agrees. It's all of Turin. Something in the water over there.
Can I interest anybody in under two?
You could interest me in under two. A Torino game? For sure.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy to bet that.
I hate betting unders because that is the worst thing to have to sweat out is an under. Like, you watch a match to see, especially if you're a neutral, you watch a match to see, like, goals, and if you're betting the under two, it's like...
Let's see. Terrible. We got plus 700. Plus 700, no goal score, if you think it's a 0-0.
Yeah, I don't even know if I trust that, though, because they've been scoring draws, a lot of them for Torino. So,
just saying.
All right, well, we're grasping at straws here. Moving on to Saturday morning, Como hosting Atalanta. Atalanta minus 120 in the money line and the road. That, to me, feels like that's like a must bet, right?
I'm going to need one of you to implement a game of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
this game.
I'll do it just because Como beat Atalanta in the reverse fixture at the beginning of the season. So this is a big-time revenge game.
Oh, yeah, remember that, Nick. They fucked us that game.
That's no right. chance Atalanta that's dropping right. points to Como twice in the season. So I think I'll make that a game of the year at minus 120 for sure.
Team total also minus 120. You could take either or. Yeah. You could take them both. You can do whatever you want. I could not like Atalanta anymore. They scored, I think, like 9 goals in the back of the net in Champions League, but only 5 counted. So like they went through a rough patch of 3 games. You know, I think 2 didn't have a goal in them. Retegi's back. He's making a big difference. Lookman not having to basically put the team on his back has pretty much freed him up to do a lot of good things. CDK continues to perform. Doesn't really matter who's on the field in this one. I think Como, good for them. They've played a lot better lately, but this is too much for them to overcome.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see them stopping Atalanta here, I think. And this is a little bit of a revenge match, like we said.
Good shout, Scotty.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
I completely forgot about when they fucked Nick and I.
Not only do I look forward to fixtures, I also look backwards.
I love it.
All right. The big one in Serie A on the weekend is the Saturday midday game. It's Napoli hosting Juventus. Napoli plus 110 on the money line. And they're coming up with a big win against Atalanta. So what do you think here, Nick? I mean, Juve's, they're draw merchants. The draw's plus 200. Do they have enough to go to Napoli and at least get that out of this match?
I don't think that's a bad bet for what it's worth. If somebody wanted to take it, Napoli has found the form. They're really on fire. We just watched a Juve team. They drew 3 out of the last 4 here. They beat Milan. Very impressive win. And then they followed it up with a performance against Club Brugge, who, not a pushover team. Again, City, hopefully we'll find that out this week. They were away. They didn't have a shot. They didn't have a shot on target.
Pretty putrid.
I mean, like, that's really hard to do in 90 minutes. So Juve just, they're like, I'm not impressed whatsoever. Good shout here by Fernando. Napoli with a statement win last week against Atalanta. They scored 3 goals. First time they've scored 3 in quite some time. I don't know that they're going to score 3 on Juve. If you look at the goal scorer props, they're all like astronomical, right? Plus 250 and higher. But you have to back Napoli at home. Plus 110,
yeah.
Really, really strong number. I just don't fear this Juve side. I don't think Conte will fear this Juve side. It's got to be Napoli. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder, and that's the side.
Winners of 6 straight, a couple big ones, beating Fiorentina, beating Atalanta. So it's not like they're all cupcake matches. They're just finding the right form. And opposite of these teams that are struggling in Champions League, this is a team with no Europe.
Fact.
True. I actually kind of like Napoli's team total here sneakily. Over 1.5 is plus 150.
Oh, yes.
In Napoli's last 6 games against Juve, the only time they've beaten them was when they've scored multiple goals. They beat them 2-1 this time last year, and then they had a 5-1 win.
5-1.
Two years ago now.
Napoli fans still talking about that win, so I'm very familiar with it.
So I think that trend continues. If they want the win here, they need multiple goals over 1.5. I think they've scored multiple goals in 5 of their last 6 too. So it's certainly in their wheelhouse, and plus 150 is a crazy number. I get Juve and their defense, but yeah, I think Napoli are winning this and they're going to have to get multiple.
I think so too. Where's Juve getting the goals from? Like we're talking about, they can't even get shots on target. Where are they getting the goals from? Honest question that I'm asking anybody that's listening or you guys. I mean, Dusan's plus 300 score. That's nuts.
My favorite thing is when you're looking at DraftKings, no goal is the second highest prop for anytime goal scorer bets. Not that that's the second shortest odds. It's just they know people want to bet this, so they're putting it up there.
Yeah, Fernando, shout out, brother. Spitting facts right now. Here's also something I'm doing. This is not saying anybody should do it, but I'm really enjoying it. You guys know I've been very, very big on how bad Coop Miners has been since his move. Paid a lot of money for him. He looks terrible. He really kind of has hindered Juve. But he's that guy that's going to pop up with like a garbage goal once every couple games. He's been plus 500 to score. I've been like watching his line at just about every game. The last 4 games that I've looked at it, he's been plus 500. I took him last game against, I forgot, they were playing somebody bad. I took him to score. I'm going to take him for the next 5 games. He only needs to score 1 goal in 5 games for me to make money. I'm just going to wait for Coop Miners to score. And then when I get pissed off and everybody comes at me, I can be like, yeah, look, I bet him to score. Told you. I knew what was going on. Like, haha, gotcha.
Can I interest you in a McTominay assist prop at plus 500?
Absolutely, you can.
That's a crazy absolutely number. I mean, I get like assists are like very much, you know, shots in the dark half the time. I was trying to find a goal or assist prop. It's not up on DraftKings right now. But plus 500 is steep.
Dude, the total is 2.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Over 2 minus 120.
Yeah, I don't get that. I think that, like I said, I'm taking that play team total over 1.5.
0-0 draw. I don't know how much that plays.
No. But... So, I mean, like that to me, like I almost want to take like a Napoli 1-0 correct score at plus 400.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad play.
You know, sprinkle on 2-0.
Let's see if they score. I'll take over 1.5 team total. Someone's going to win, right? Someone has to win. How does it lose?
Let me see. Do we have correct score band somewhere? I forget where it is in DraftKings.
It's usually under game props.
Game props. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, if you want 1-0, Napoli, it's plus 380.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I would almost take that. Hold on. Okay, so Napoli 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 win is plus 170.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Basically, Napoli to win to nil.
Yeah.
As long as they're not putting up 4 on Juve's defense, which would be fucking crazy.
Oh, we'd be here for it. Yeah, or like, I mean, what's Juve's team total under? I mean, let's see if that's better or worse.
Juve's team total under?
Yeah, it's only plus 135. So yeah, I'd take Napoli correct score 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. That score band, I think, isn't bad.
All right, that throw in a team total over 1.5, double up on a 2-0 or 3-0.
I like it. Coach.
Got next, coach.
All right. I mean, 3, right? You agree? It's Napoli?
I think it's got to be Napoli, especially at plus money at home. Yeah.
Podcast reputation on the line. I like it.
Empoli hosting Bologna is the late Saturday match. Bologna plus 105 on the road. Coming off the win against Dortmund, they should have some wind behind their sails. I think, you know, they've been in good form. I think they've
got one
lost in their last 9 or 10 matches.
They will overtake Fiorentina pretty soon. Empoli, believe it or not.
Yeah. Empoli, you know, not great. They've been a big draw team themselves this year. I think it's got to be. You got to take Bologna here, right? I mean, Empoli's fallen all the way to 17th. I didn't realize they've fallen so far so fast. Because I remember when they were hovering around like mid-table.
Weren't they like in fifth after like the first month of the
season? They started really hot. Hype. Yeah.
Sorry. I got caught up in Andy's comment. Hell yeah, Andy. Let's see it. Well, you were here for it. Bologna is the move here. I don't know how hurt Orsolini is. He came off in like the 20th minute against Dortmund. So that really kind of sucked. But Castro's been pretty good. He's sitting at plus 300. I'm trying to think of like who else could potentially score for this team. Is it somebody like Ndoi, who is plus 400 to score? I don't know. Ferguson, who's back, probably taking penalty kicks if they are to get one, plus 400. I think there's some value in some of these guys.
Yeah, I think plus 105 in the money line is too good of a number to pass up.
I agree. I'm gonna hit you with a weird one. Like, what's? Let me get the number. Hold on. Oh, come on. Tell me they don't have it.
What are you looking for?
Hold on. Dramatic pause. I'm looking for Bologna to... Oh, here we go. Ah, it's not that good. I was going to say Bologna to score in the second half, but it's minus 140.
Yeah, that's...
I don't love it, but I do think they score a goal late.
Do they score last goal?
Do they score the only goal of the match? So then,
because just last goal is minus 140 for Bologna too.
Yeah, fair. Could happen, but I think they win.
They're pretty much. Who do they have for Champions League next week? Do they have any hope?
They're out. Yeah, they're out.
Done. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good. They can rest players then, midweek.
Hey, they got their Champions League win at home, which is more than I thought they would get this year.
Against a team with Champions League pedigree too, no less.
Yeah, they're not beating Sporting next week when Sporting has everything to play for.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to Sunday, the early match, Milan hosting Parma. Milan minus 350 on the money line. Parma plus 700.
The way Milan's been playing lately, it wouldn't shock me for a letdown. Would not shock me for a letdown. I would hate to see it, but I got nothing for this game. One thing I will say, I'm very capable of admitting when I don't want to say I'm wrong. I don't know that it's something to be wrong about, but I've been very critical of Leao. Always kind of have been, always will be to an extent. But the point I was trying to make the last couple of games, talking to you guys, talking to some friends, you, in situations like this where you have this Milan team that's underperforming, you have two strikers who can't fucking score, right? Morata, it's time to just like fucking punt him to the moon. He's been terrible. And
it was time like years ago.
Yeah. And Tammy obviously hasn't done shit. So you have strikers who aren't scoring. You have Pulisic and some other guys who have been injured, been not injured. This is when you kind of want to see Leao shine and take over games. He did that in the second half of the last game. Or they lost to Juve. He didn't do anything, but nobody did. He did that the two games before. He just did that in Champions League. Leao has been much needed and much better, I think, since the coaching change. So I will give him the credit he deserves there.
Both teams to score is minus 130. And I know we just talked about strikers not being able to score, but that's hit in five of the last six in this matchup.
I like it. I mean, I don't see a way Milan don't get on the score sheet at home to Parma.
It's
I mean, they should score.
Parma's, it's one of those ones where Nick, where like what you're saying makes sense. And so I was looking at both teams to score. No, at plus 105. I was like, oh, that feels like a no brainer. Went to go find the stat to back it up and it couldn't. I got it. Five of the last six, both teams to score. 2-1, 1-3, 2-2, 3-1.
And here's the shit. Parma's only a point above relegation.
They're only
a point above relegation. They need points. Yeah. Like, it's not like they can afford to keep dropping games.
Yeah. They, like Empoli, have faded pretty hard as the season's worn on. Because early on, they were getting some results here and there, not happening anymore.
Is Kyle Walker going to play in this game? Because if so, it's 110% of both teams to score.
He did. He was in Milan yesterday. I saw him at the hotel.
I know.
I didn't see him. Martino, I saw him on Twitter at that hotel.
Anybody, a scarecrow would be an upgrade on Emerson Royale, but I think Kyle Walker might be the guy to disprove that because he's just so bad.
Milan,
I don't know, dude.
Going to the Premier League garbage bin of right backs.
Dude, great. Royale fucking stinks.
Yeah. John says announcements tomorrow, so unlikely to play, I'd say, but yeah, you know. Quality coming in there for Milan. So
I'm just sorry. One last thought, because we're, you know, it's still a betting podcast. Like, Milan is the most frustrating team on the board week in and week out. Number one, because I believe they're better than their results, but I guess sort of the books, right? Like, they're not getting the numbers that are like the disrespect of the eighth place team that they are currently. So like, they're almost like a game like this. I would love to see them at like minus 140 and I'd probably take them, but you know, they're not there, but they're not a 3-1 favorite either. Like, they're just not. So it's just,
the sharps are taking, you know, opponent plus goals and they're just riding it out.
Right. But I'd like to see them win. I mean, you know, I made the case for them to finish in the top four. So I'd like to be correct about that at the end of the year.
Yeah. Looking more and more unlikely by the week, the way they've played. Yeah. So imagine them and Juve both finish outside the top four.
And Roma.
And Roma. So you throw in three of the five or six teams with those aspirations right there.
Got them.
No, I mean, Napoli, Inter, Atalanta, like we've been saying, locked in. But, you know, playing into your team's hands the way things have gone lately for some of these other teams.
Yeah, we'll see.
Sitting in fourth. So speaking of Roma, not finishing top four and maybe not winning matches, who knows? They are traveling to Udine to play Udinese. They're plus 120 in the money line. Lost today against AZ Alkmaar in the
zero Europa shots.
League. Yeah. No, they didn't have zero shots. I remember Dovbyk definitely had one on target in the first half from about 20 yards out, but
charity shots.
Yeah,
okay.
Charity shots. Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, I was feeling pretty good about the way Roma was playing heading into this one today. They had gotten results of 7 out of 8 and or 8 out of 9, something like that. And then they did this. So I don't know what to make of this. So you tell me.
I don't wish misfortune on any Italian team in Europe, even if it is Roma. So let me start by saying that. I think this is an absolutely smash spot for Roma on the money line at plus 120. I think that's just kind of a really silly number to an inconsistent Udinese side here. Really, really like it. And I like it even more after how bad Roma were today. Over 1.5 team total at plus 130, I think is also very live. The one thing that really, truly worries me is Roma's form hasn't gotten better. I've tweeted this a ton of times now. Like they've had like a good half hour the entire season. It just happened to be against Lazio. They're like, outside of that, I don't really remember anything good that Roma had done. And this dude, Dubic, I was very, very wrong about him. Like I thought it was a good signing. Many on Twitter were calling it the summer Mercato of the decade, right? Summer Scudetto, yeah, that Roma was between him and Sule.
Many teams have thought they won a Scudetto in the summer.
Listen, I watched him a little bit here and there in La Liga, definitely watched him in Europe last year. You don't score 25, 30 goals, whatever he finished with you. Like, I'm a big believer in you don't put those numbers up by accident. I don't really care what team you're on or what the circumstances are. Every game I watch him this year, he fucking stinks. Like, this dude has two left feet. He doesn't control anything. He doesn't get anything on target. Every one of his goals is a fucking tap in or a rebound. They got to be kicking themselves, dude. They got rid of Tammy, which, not like Tammy's doing anything, but wouldn't you have liked to keep him there for a little bit of a backup or competition or something?
Honestly, the way Salamakers has played, that's actually been a good transfer for Roma.
But Salamakers has been playing good, but now like the last two or three games, you got him playing almost wing back. So like he's not even getting involved in the offense. Like he went on a streak of like three games in a row with a goal contribution, and then Ranieri just pulled him back and was like, "Now you're going to play more defense now." So like I just don't understand it. I'm bashing Roma an awful lot to tell you that I liked them on the money line this week. I don't know, man. Like it's kind of head scratching, but this Udinese team still isn't very good. They are in 10th. You guys mentioned it. They draw a lot, but they haven't won in their last four games, I think is important to note. Their goal scoring has dried up dramatically. And I just don't think Roma's going to get blanked this many games in a row. So I like Roma on the money line, but they definitely have their issues.
The good news for Roma is Udinese has kind of been their whipping boy of a club in the last couple of years. Last four games, they've won all four of them, scored three goals in three of them and two goals in the other. When things are going wrong for Roma, they can count Udinese to give them 3 points. So I think you're on point with this, Nick.
And I think every time I've taken Roma on the show, they've like dropped points. So it's like even better for me. So great. Either I'm really fucking smart, which I hope you guys think so. If you're watching, if you've stuck with us this long, maybe you think there's a little value in our opinions, but if not, Roma drop points, and all of a sudden they're in 11th place. So I'm good either fucking way.
Sounds good.
What do you think, Coach? You asked us for our opinion. What are you doing with this game? I mean,
they smashed Udinese, and Juric is like, that was like their new manager bounce with Juric. They played one good game under him. It was this one. They have been better in Serie A. Do I trust them? I don't necessarily trust them. Whenever I see plus 120 in the money line and I think they're going to win, I like it. It's hard to say. They don't show up from a game in, game out basis, even though they've gotten results in 8 out of 10 or something. Now it hasn't been the most comfortable 8 out of 10. So I don't know. I really don't.
And can we at least agree that? I mean, Roma team total 1.5 is +130.
That's why I like it. Like Udinese scores a goal a game. So if you think Roma are getting something out of it, they need two.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I mean, just the fact that that's better number than money line is crazy. Yeah.
And Roma hasn't been keeping clean sheets lately, so they're going to need to, most likely.
Udinese don't score, so their scoring is dried up. Chavin's really hasn't done anything since the first month. Luca doesn't even start anymore. Like Sanchez started the last two games. Can't fucking figure that out. If Alexis Sanchez is your answer in 2025, Roma should be able to beat you.
Can't believe that dude's still playing. God damn.
Believe it or not.
Back in Udinese. Jesus Christ. Back where he made a name for himself in Europe. All right. Running through, we've got Lecce hosting Inter. Don't know if there's much to play here with Inter at -320 in the money line.
There's nothing you can touch there.
Lazio Fiorentina would be the you know, spotlight game of Sunday. They're playing the late game. It's Lazio even money at home against Fiorentina +260 on the money line.
It's our second game of the week.
Yeah.
+100 money line at home. Easy peasy.
I think that's got to be Lazio on the money line based on the form of these two sides right now.
Look at you guys complimenting Lazio. I love it.
Easy peasy. I just saw them put up three against La Liga stalwarts Real Sociedad.
Right, Sociedad, who do not give up goals. No, if you're in
10-man Sociedad, sorry.
Well, two of the goals were on the 11-man Sociedad, for what it's worth.
Yeah. Oh, now you're talking me back into Lazio. Look at you.
Yeah, listen, Fiorentina really fallen on hard times. I've been a big defender of Paladino. I think he's a good coach. I think he does well with mediocre squads, and we're just seeing that Fiorentina really do have a mediocre squad. I mean, if Moise Keane didn't have 12 goals, this team's probably in 10th place. So that's dried up a little bit. They haven't looked good. They're still really not giving up a ton of goals, but they're giving up just enough to not get it done on the offensive side. So Lazio, it's like a must win for Lazio pretty much in this scenario. Like, you have to get these points and pretty much put Fiorentina out of their misery.
Yeah, I agree. I think them on the money line at that number is a good play. Monday,
you could just take an over. I mean, what's the over? I mean, this is like, I think the last game was 3-3 between these teams, or 3-2 Fiorentina. Excuse me, we lost the first
over
game.
Over is, it's set at 2.5. The over is -105. The under is -125.
Yeah, I would take an over also.
And then Monday we close it out with a couple real barn burners. We have Venezia hosting Verona and Genoa hosting Monza.
Watch out for Venezia. They're playing better, scoring more goals. Hellas stink. I like him at home.
I haven't given this out yet. It's one of my, one of the pod's favorite picks. I think we got it from Oaks, or maybe one of the Andes. But both teams to score over 2.5 is +125. That has hit in each of their last four matches against.
There you go.
In this matchup. So, this is another one of our classic, like, both teams stink, there's going to be goals. History has supported that going back to 2020. So, +125 for that one.
I dig that.
That wraps up Italy and Premier League. I don't know if, Nick, you have anything elsewhere you want to point out, but
you don't like Genoa money line?
Genoa money line +115.
Oh, damn, well, coach.
Against Monza, last place Monza.
I introduced both games. I don't know if you were.
Well, we have two great picks for them. Both of them playing plus money. Gotta give them proper love.
And here is the logic behind it, guys. If there's,
I'll give you the logic behind it. Monza's last place and they're on the road. Why would you ever bet? Yeah. That's it? All right, good. Glad we're on the same page.
No, three things going for him. Last place on the road, and you're getting plus money against the last place team. That's as far as you have to think about it. It doesn't matter if you know a player, if you don't know a player, you know the circumstances, you don't, like, that's the end. You put your money with the home team at plus money and call it a day.
And Monza's like a bad last place team. They're not like, misfortunate, you know, dealing with some, you know, bad run in the calendar right now. No, they're just like a genuinely bad team.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Let's see. I feel like there was a good game or two out here in Germany. Let's see if we're right. Just also be like, look ahead, man. We talked about it early on in the show. We picked out some games. I think England, it was more of a situation than here. But watch these teams that are looking ahead to Champions League or other European commitments. I think that's a real thing. RB Leipzig and Leverkusen. I don't know, man. I'm almost inclined to back Leipzig at home here. I think they're starting to turn it around. You could get them +0.5 at home, but Leverkusen's still good. So I don't know. Should be a fun game.
Leverkusen are on a run. They've just been winning nonstop the last, like, what? I don't even know. When was last? Let's see. When was their last dropped points?
In Bundesliga or overall?
Bundesliga. They just lost to Atletico today.
I can tell you.
We're talking Bundesliga. Yeah, they've dropped points. Bochum, November 9th. Their last loss was the second game of the season.
They're on a roll. They're 4 points behind Bayern.
You know what? They started the year so like mediocrely, right? It was like one win out of the first five games or two wins. Like, I didn't realize they've gone on such a fucking tear.
Yeah, no, they're on a run. I'm not a big, I mean, I think both Red Bull teams right now are kind of in a bit of turmoil. I'm not a big fan of Leipzig.
But RB's so good at home, like, man.
Leverkusen at -115. Home?
In the Bundesliga? Pretty good home.
Yeah, in their last four games, they're 2-1-1.
Oh, interesting.
At home. Going back to that November 9th magical date that I'm just picking arbitrarily.
Okay. But. Coach, talk to me about your boys, Mainz, because I was inclined to take Stuttgart. Mainz has lost two in a row, but they're playing pretty well.
I don't know much about Mainz. Stuttgart was my cash cow last year, but like
sixth place. Sixth place right behind RB.
This is a big one for Stuttgart, actually. I didn't realize they were back up to fourth now. They're ahead of Leipzig, so they're keeping it together.
Germany's heating up. We need Bayern Munich to drop some points, though, because I refuse to see Kompany win a fucking title in his first year.
Kane. I don't want to see Kane win a trophy, period.
I don't mind Harry Kane as much. But
it's just funny. It's a great storyline.
It is.
The dude went to go get his first ever trophy to Bayern, who just historically win trophies nonstop, and then they don't. So
and lose to never.
Never losing.
Never losing.
So let's get Leverkusen to win here. Maybe we drop some points for Bayern.
Here's something that jumps out to me. I don't know how good Hoffenheim has been, but
terrible.
Eintracht is plus 120 on the money line on the road. Yeah, Hoffenheim down in 15th.
Yeah.
Terrible round of form. Frankfurt, interesting.
Give me,
having a really good year.
You want to talk about teams that are historically bad?
Yeah, Frankfurt at plus 120 all day. All day.
Yeah.
But even though they lost their forward.
Do we like Werder Bremen double chance at plus 140 at Dortmund? Dortmund have been horrendous this year.
Yeah, the only problem is they're really, really good at home. Really, really good at home. That's the only thing that scares me a little bit.
All right. Let me fucking
Bremen hasn't been that good, right? Like, aren't they just kind of whatever?
They're ahead of Dortmund in the table. They're
fair. Super fair.
So, yeah, they're not that good.
Bremen's the fifth best road team in the league. Not bad.
All right. Dortmund's really good at home. They haven't won a game at home since November 23rd.
Man, just one thing I'll say. I know we talk about it here and there. Like, good time to tune into the Bundesliga. It's been a pretty fun season. Just as a fan and somebody who bets.
All right, Nick. All right. Werder Bremen plus one, minus 125.
Yeah, all right. Give me plus one anytime. Like, I love that shit. That's like the greatest line in sports.
Plus one, minus 125. All right, that's all I got.
All right. So we thank you guys for listening. We love all the interaction in the chat, so thanks to everybody who tuned in live and are dropping comments and plays in the chat. We will catch you guys again next week, and if you're enjoying the show, be sure to like, subscribe, and share, and help spread the word and help grow this thing.